I want to speak to you tonight on the simple topic of the peace that passes. The peace that passes. Peace that passes. Amen. Let's look at the scripture together. We'll look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and let's read verse 6, 7, and 8. We'll do that. Philippians 4, and we'll read 6, 7, and 8, I believe, is where we're going to read. And if we can, I think we can glean there. And read out of your translation. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto him." Now, how many believe that he knows what we're facing? But the Lord we serve is a gentleman. He allows you to offer those things to him. So make it be known unto God. Philippians 4 and 7 goes on a little farther. It says it this way, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And verse 8 goes on a little farther. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good." There we go. Is there one more? Is there another? Sorry, sometimes that bleeds over. There we go. "Good report. If there be any virtue," Mark got thrown to the wolves tonight, by the way. He was trying to run the lyrics and the sound. He had both arms, and when I looked up and saw he had clicked it, I decided I'm not going to throw him under the bus. So I went. By the time I sang the other part, he had gone back to help us out. Some of y'all get to come and just enjoy church. "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. Get your mind on these things is what he's saying. There's a reason why he's speaking this. There's a reason why I was saying it. We're going to talk about tonight the peace that passes. Lord, we love you again. I pray bless us and help us speak to your people tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. This peace talking about tonight, there's a difference. Peace is not always just peace. There's godly peace and there's worldly peace. There are two different things. Somebody who has their life planned out, they can look back and say, "You know what? I've got it all in order." We were talking to my daughter about her grades last night, making sure she had everything right. She said, "I can assure you that once this one assignment is turned in, that it will be where it needs to be." And I said, "Well, I will have peace when you get that grade where it needs to be. Or you, in 1 year, will be driving a car where the doors don't match the hood." And that's okay for some. I'm okay with that. But a 16-year-old little girl going to high school is not okay with that. Now listen, I'm okay with that. I've gotten more, I kind of prefer that these days. A little two-tone action in an unknown, unexpected place. I'm okay with that. But she got the point. Now, she's going to have to go seek out peace. But we're talking about worldly peace when it comes to that. There's a difference in godly peace. There's something different in this letter that Paul had to the Philippians that is speaking to a deeper peace. He was looking and realizing we've got a little bit of struggle going on. And I've got to maybe speak to this. The reality was is there was some anxiousness. There was some stuff. Let me just say it this way. The best way to describe this anxiousness that I think that they were dealing with and I feel we may be dealing with, it's no different. I've said this over and over, but it's the best way to help you understand this and me to maybe communicate it. We all got those bean seeds when we were kids, and we would take them, wrap them up, and you'd go place them in a Ziploc baggie or around in a paper towel, go sit it in the window, and we would place those things in that seed. And the next day, I expected to come in and see a big old plant. Y'all ain't doing anything different. It's the same thing. I was anxious when I did not see it producing anything yet. And just to pause for a second, we're doing all this work, we're doing all these things, we're feeding all these people, we're loving all these people. This. I expect for us to have a fourth generation, fully, you know, programmed. You do this, you do. No, the reality is such were some of you. And the reality is that sometimes there's anxiousness that sets in because where I am at, you want someone else to be at. But the reality is you weren't where somebody else was when you were where they were at. Does that make sense? So is that okay? I'm just trying my best to just bring it home just for a moment, and I'll get away from that. But the anxiety and the anxiousness that was setting in, Paul was really speaking of that. He began to speak, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Paul's letter, he's telling them that you need to know that there is an understanding that he can give that's beyond anything you can understand. And that understanding comes in a peace that you say, it's not mine anyways. It's all his. It's his, and he's telling them, as you're trying to break it down the best you can, you're trying to make sense of it the best you can, but your ways and my ways are not the same. So he says, if you find anything, if there's any good report, if there's any good thing, if there's anything to give God thanks about, if there's anything to say that is good, think on these things and don't let anxiety come in to where you're living and what you're dealing with. So we've got to know there's an understanding to the peace of God that's very, very critical and important. The peace of God is beyond comprehension. And so I want to look at a few things about the peace of God and the peace of the world. The first thing you can look at is maybe the source of where these things come from. The source is important because where you're finding your peace will tell you everything about your walk with God. If you're saying, you know what, I'm happy, I got a distant relationship with the Lord in a sense. I'm kind of comfortable, but everything's lined out. I've got all things where it needs to be. I've got all things right. My job is good. I got a raise not long ago. I got this and that. My car is running good. It's not leaking any oil, which is a pro right now for me in my life. But we got a lot of things that are okay. But I'm good, but I feel a little tension with maybe. Let me just help you understand real quick. I want to say it again. There's a source of peace. One comes from the world and one comes from living connected to God. And so here we go. The source of peace idea, the source that we can look at, is the peace of the world often originates from external circumstances such as material possessions, success, or favorable relationships. Everything's good in my life. Everything's fine. I've got it all where it needs to be. What's amazing is oftentimes this is where we maybe pray the least because life is peaceful. Life is good. I don't need anything right now. I'm okay. This is the worldly peace. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have peace in your life, but I am saying that you cannot allow the peace to come only from the worldly things that you say, well, this is where I want to live. There's another source that you can have peace from. The peace of God emanates from a relationship with God that is grounded in faith. What does that mean? It means that I may not know where the next step is coming from, but I've got faith that He'll put a step in my path. I don't know where the next meal's coming from, but I've got faith that He is going to make it work in my life. There's a peace that someone can have when they're going through a trial, and that peace oftentimes shines out and emanates, as we find here, beyond what they're facing. And this is a whole different type of peace. It is a connection. But let me tell you, you're not just plugged in, but you're plugged in to the ultimate power bank. You're plugged in to all the resources. You're plugged in to all the hope. You're plugged in to the healing power. And you know that I may go through something, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I know that there may not be all perfect moments in my life, but I have peace because I've got a God. I've got it. It says it's not dependent on external factors, but comes from within, rooted in trust and obedience. Those things oftentimes, they go hand in hand. I trust. And so how do I have to have trust? Because sometimes obeying is not easy. It's not easy. So I just trust it's going to work out. That's connected to our faith. It's very, very important that we understand that. There's a nature of peace that we have. There's a nature, not just a source, but a nature of peace. The peace of the world is temporary. It's fragile. Easily disrupted by changes in circumstances. Let me tell you right now, somebody who's up one day and down another, they're seeking worldly peace. Someone who can be in the middle of a revival and not be happy, they're seeking worldly peace. Worldly peace is usually about me, nobody else. Worldly peace is usually about me. Well, I'm good. I don't care. Worldly peace is making sure they got what they wanted for dinner, but everybody else didn't get anything. Worldly peace is usually about, well, I like it this way. Nope. That's what worldly peace does. Worldly peace is temporary. And let me tell you again, what happens if 2020 ever, I'm not speaking this, I rebuke it in Jesus' name, but what happens if 2020 ever happens again and we can't meet again and we are relegated to now our bedrooms again and you don't get to have it your way? Are you still now, is peace contingent upon my way, the things I've got? I can't do that. These things are disrupted. It's disrupted by changes in circumstances, conflicts, or uncertainties. I don't know how it's going to work out, so it's no good. But let me tell you, there's another nature of peace that we can talk about here. The peace of God is enduring. It's resilient. It's unaffected by external events or challenges. What godly peace says is you can come at me with everything you've got, but the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away from me. The thing I'm talking about is godly peace that says, strip me of all I've got. Naked I came in, and naked I shall return. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It does not worry about external challenges because it realizes this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And so it helps me know this. It provides a deep and abiding sense of security even in the midst of the trials. You see that when Jesus was asleep on the belly of the boat, they were looking for worldly peace in the midst of trying to find godly peace. But they weren't sure how to deal with it all because they were still figuring out life. But let me tell you right now, there will be a lot of that we experience because some of you are seasoned saints. And you say, you know what, I've gone through dark days and I'm still here. And you've learned how not to rely on circumstances for peace. But if you're going to judge us, our good old people that are sitting near you harshly, and you've got to decide if you're going to judge the disciples. Because when the winds came up and when the waters came up, they said, Lord, wake up. It's not good. What they were saying is, I don't feel peace because the outside storms. And what the Lord was saying is, you're in the safest place you could be in. I know the winds outside are blowing, but we're not going under. I know the water's raging, but we're not going under. I know the boat feels like it's going to capsize, but let me rest because it's all okay. And when you have godly peace, when your source is godly peace, what do I mean by that? Just go a little farther. What do I mean by that? And I'm not trying to be cheap here, but I got a bad report. I got godly peace though. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Things aren't great at home, but Lord, I believe that you can bring in peace that'll pass all understanding. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Nothing's changed in my children yet, but Lord, I'm discouraged. I feel anxiety. I feel anxious. I feel worried. But if you can use it's a godly peace that I've got to tap into. There's something I've got to yearn for. There's something I've got to have. And it's very important that you understand the nature of godly peace goes beyond whatever you're feeling on the outside, whatever you're seeing on the outside. That's the nature of it. The scope of this peace, the scope of worldly peace is limited in scope, if I can say it that way, but it's limited in scope often focused on, and I got ahead of me a moment ago, but personal comfort. Often focused on what I have, what I'm looking at. Often focused on security and worldly achievements. Often focused on me. It's centralized. It flows through me. It's mine. The peace, however, of God, the scope of the peace of God, transcends individual concerns and encompasses a broader perspective, including spiritual well-being, relational harmony, and eternal significance. And so let me just help you understand right now that I'm trying my best to figure out the best way to say it. If I'm on the road, if I'm on the interstate, guess what? You are in driving harmony with those that are around you. If you're not in driving harmony, then the cops, the ambulance, the fire truck, they're on their way to you. Does that make sense? If I'm not in driving harmony, if I don't find myself in harmony, some of us don't realize that we live in harmony every day. We walk in the restaurant, we fall in line. We're in harmony with a person we don't know. We're in harmony now. We're waiting for them to get there. And when they're done, we're going to say, "Hi, nice to meet you." Or we're going to say, "Hi, come to my church, but get out of my way." But just joking. Bad joke. I know. I'm trying to get there. But we walk up and you're in harmony with the order that they have set up. And if you can operate that way, then things are okay. But if you walk in and you say, "I want to go first," and you get out, you're going to find yourself in a mess, especially if you get the wrong guy or the wrong lady. You're going to find yourself in a mess. They're not going to put up with it because you have to operate in harmony. When you go to a classroom, you operate in harmony, or you're going to the principal's office. We understand that. You have to know the same thing in life, that we must understand what it is to have relational harmony, that it may not be my preference. I may want it now. I may desire it right now, but I succumb to the idea that there is a grander picture, and in order for me to have peace, I must understand the scope of godly peace, and there might be a giant in my path in order to deliver God's people from the Philistines. And I guarantee you, David did not want to look up and see a giant in his path, but he also understood what it was to sit on the backside of a hill and not get it his way all the time, to not get it just how he wanted it all the time. He understood what it was to walk in trust and obedience and say, "Is there not a cause?" What he's saying by that is, I'm giving up the scope of my own worldly peace to walk now in to the scope of godly peace, because I do not live by the things of the world, but I live by the things of God. So he goes down and he takes things that were used for his personal everyday life, empties them out, gathers 5 smooth stones, puts them in his pocket, goes out, defeats Goliath. Because he had peace that was not sourced, understood the nature, understood the scope of what it was from God. Is this making sense? A couple more things here. The foundation of peace is very, very critical for you to understand. The peace of the world is built on shifting sands. Again, some of these line a little bit different, kind of the same, but it's shifting sands, relying on temporary solutions and external validations. And I want these things. This is for me, and I desire that. That's where Facebook comes in oftentimes. Seeking personal peace, seeking worldly peace. Let me get it. Tell me how great I am. Tell me about my meal that I made. Tell me how good it looks. Again, to remind you, these family pictures are not an easy thing to have. Everyone's crying before the picture is taken. Everyone's crying. Dad didn't want to go. Mom made everybody dress up in these matching colors. No one wants to do that. No one wants to, especially Christmas time. Tara gets the kids' pajamas, and she says, "I knew you wouldn't want any." I said, "You're exactly right, so I don't do the pajama thing. Don't really want to wear a onesie for Christmas. I'm not busting anybody that does it. You're just not the man that I am." But, just kidding, sorry, someone took offense to that. But the reality is these things are not easy. These things aren't easy. They're not easy. But we snap the picture and we say, "Well, here it is." And then we tell everybody, our everything's perfect. No, it wasn't before you beat those kids. It wasn't. It was not good. But we project worldly peace. We project it. We show it. We say this is what it is. External things, temporary solutions. But the peace of God is built on a solid foundation of faith. The foundation of godly peace, of the peace of God, is a solid foundation of faith. Why would it be built on faith? Because faith has to move through the moments and move through the times. Faith has to take a journey sometimes up the mountain and then down the mountain. Faith has to go around the mountain. Faith has to go deep into the valley. Faith has to sometimes get soaking wet. Faith sometimes has to brave the winds and say, I'm not going anywhere. Faith is a vehicle only for godly peace. Only for godly peace. It's an unchanging character of God that I'm tapped into, knowing He's always good, even if things I have around me aren't good. Even if the report is bad, He's still good. Even if things are bad, He's still good. Even if the day seems bad, He's still good. He's still good. And so I'm rooted in knowledge of God's love, grace, and sovereignty, knowing that He sees things I can't see. He knows things I don't know, and here we go. The effects, I'm hurrying there, the effects of peace, the peace of the world may lead to complacency, selfishness, or a false sense of security. That's why you see a rise, let me be very careful here. If you've gone through this, I'm not knocking anybody. This is a real thing that we face more than ever in our society. I don't have the statistics right now, but the amount of marriages that last right now compared to 20 years ago, it's staggering. But here's the thing I want you to understand right now. If you face that, if you've gone through that, you get no judgment from me. I thank God that you're saying right now, but I am establishing some things in God. But let me help you understand right now. One of the reasons why it's there is because people are seeking personal peace in a place where you've got to give. I've got to give. In my marriage, guess what? I don't care if everything's organic. I brought something home the other day and she said, babe, this isn't organic. I said, let me be honest with you right now. I don't care. And then after she knocked me out and I woke up, I got back up. And I was like, okay, I'll get organic next time. But the reality is that sometimes we say, well, I want it my way. Again, the effects of you seeking out your own personal peace says, I want it my way. And I don't care who's in the way of that. I don't care who I hurt in the way of that. I don't care who I burned down in the way of that. It doesn't matter. But the peace of God produces inner transformation. Changes the way you think. Changes your goals. Changes your desires. You look at the bigger picture and say, but I want health here. And I want this here. So leading to humility, gratitude, and a desire to serve others. It empowers believers to face challenges with courage and grace and not desire personal gain. It's the effects of desiring godly peace. And here we go. I'm going to move quickly here. But understanding this peace beyond understanding, this is important because it's not just a phrase that's easily said, but Paul is speaking to us in the text and encourages that you and I do this very thing. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This was not just a request. This was an admonition. Paul was writing this down and he would have been, oh my goodness, I can't believe that that's happening. But I've got an answer for them. If they would stop seeking personal peace and they'd realize there's a bigger picture, and if they would realize what they're capable of and they would know what is on the brink, they don't see it right now, but I know something amazing is happening and you don't understand it right now. That's why I'm going to tell you about a peace that's beyond understanding. But what? How do I get there? How do I do that? How? And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because when you go to somebody else with your requests that need to be made known unto God, you then bring anxiety to somebody else, and you now only reinforce your own little world that you're living in, and you now reinforce the fact that I want my peace and nobody else gets to have peace. No, but when you go to God, you say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know it, but I trust you. And all of a sudden, you can't help. You cannot be selfish and really truly pray from your heart. You can't do it. That's why Paul said, with everything you deal with everything you face, with everything you go through, and all you're going to face in life by prayer and supplication, what do you mean I'm going to give thanksgiving for a bad report? Yes, you are. Because although the day's bad, he's still good. Although the report's bad, he's still good. And when I understand godly peace, I understand, Sheila Hollis, I can have a hole in my roof, but he's the God of all things, and all things will work out. When I seek godly peace, we are prone to pray about the big things in life, but we forget about the little things until they grow into big things. And so we feel like this isn't a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. And all of a sudden, those things become something greater, and we've left those things alone all that time. He's saying, in everything whatsoever you have, be aware and pray with prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving. He says, you've got to tap into prayer. So we must know that we've got to talk, we've got to love, we've got to give everything we've got. We've got a few minutes left, but we've got to give these things to him. The scripture said this way, let it be made known unto him. In other words, I'm telling him. You say, well, he should already know about it. He does, but you have not let go of it yet. You've not given it to him yet. I've got to give it to him. What in the world is that anxiousness? What is that? We're going to find it here when you begin to talk about, and he discusses this a little bit more, because he's telling us in this pretty much to guard your heart, guard your mind, not allow these things to come in and settle in on you. The Greek word translated anxious meant to be pulled in different directions. If I were to get a couple of you up here right now and you to pull with everything you've got, for one, it might make me feel a little better right now, because I got a little, need to pop my back a little bit. But after that, after a while, you're going to feel as if you're coming apart. You're going to feel as if you're being, it literally means to be pulled in different directions. Pull our hopes to pull in one direction. Our fears pull us now in another direction. Our hopes say, well, I want the things of God, but our fear, that's why sometimes you're wanting to, I remember one time going out to the lake, and I shouldn't have done this. My mom and dad probably didn't know about it, but there was a little bit of a cliff. To me, it looked like it was 50 feet. To everybody else, it looked like it was 5 feet. My fear kept me back. My eagerness kept me teetering. And I looked bound by inactivity, but it was because I was still tethered to one thing by fear, but I was wanting to experience something that would be invigorating there. So I was literally in the balance, and some of us allow anxiousness and anxiety to come in and do that very thing. I want the things of God, but I don't want to take a step. I want to grow in God, but I'm scared of what may happen. I want to see God do a work in my life, but what if I'm rejected? What if I'm not good at it? What I would tell you, I would speak to you right now, is you ought to stand on the edge of that and operate in faith and say, God, I'm going for what you have for me. I'm diving in to what you have for me, and I will not remain anxious. It pulls us. The old English root of the word means this: to strangle, to bring on pain. When you feel worry, when you're anxious, when you're scared to take a step, oftentimes headaches, back pain. This is real stuff. Tension, thinking irrationally, your the weight of your mind, even relationships now at times are severed. Why? Because you're so anxious and you're now seeking personal peace that you cannot look at the harmony of the room. Paul is saying this: you don't have to live this way. You don't have to do it. And he goes on a little farther. He's simply telling us this: the word is a radar to you. He's telling them that you've got to be aware of something. Paul parallels what David said in Psalms 19, 7 through 9. The follower who fills their heart and mind with God's word will have a built-in radar, so to speak. He's speaking the sand. There's something that will help you to detect wrong thoughts. There's something that will help you to realize this is not right. There's something you'll have that is not right. Psalm 119 is 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. In other words, when you understand the value of desiring godly peace, you walk in a place that you understand everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. The last things I want you to understand right now is peace takes effort. Bethany, you can come. Peace takes effort. Paul said it this way, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. While there isn't complete understanding of what exactly the context is, we find here there's some insights we can glean from this dissertation or this pleading. He told them this, and I know we got a little ahead of ourselves a moment ago, but there's importance in unity and harmony. Don't forget about the interstate problem. Go with the traffic, go with the flow. Don't go slow in the left lane, by the way. Get over, let the rest of us drive too, okay? This is serious stuff, right? This is the best thing you've heard in a long time. Slide over and let us around. I don't care if you're from Texas or not, all right? In Jesus' name. But go with the flow. Don't try to pull a U-turn in the middle of traffic. You're going to have a wreck. There's importance in harmony. Paul urges you, I don't know her name either, E and S, Syntyche, to be of the same mind of the Lord, emphasizing the importance of unity and harmony with this community that they're a part of. And he said there might be a disagreement. He's telling them there's disagreements you're going to have. There's conflicts. There's two, if I can say it this way, great ladies of the church who disagree on something. I know we never have that happen. There's been no disagreements. Here's what Paul told them. You got to seek unity and harmony. Not just of different flavors, but let me say it this way, of different generations. We can't have a young church and an old church. There's only a church. There's only a church. Sister Carolyn, thank you for Sunday morning before church. I walk in here before church and the worship team's. Many times our best worship is, to be honest with you, while they're in practice. There's moments where this will break out in such a deep, deep move of the Holy Ghost before practice. And it was amazing to me. I walked in here on Sunday morning, and I don't want to embarrass her, but she's over there just lifting her hands and just worshiping God. And thank you so much for that, because it tells them we're going to do this together. We're going to go together. We're going to do this together. We're going to see this together. Thank you so much. And so Paul's saying this. He's speaking this. He's telling them that you've got to understand the power of harmony and unity. Right now, the music you hear behind me, thank God for harmony. Try to play that with one key, Bethany. Play it just one key. And that's okay, right? Okay, it's good when you're first beginning. I remember the early days, keep on doing that. The early days when we planted our church in Lowell, we were by ourselves and it felt like that. My praise, my all. Eva would be crying over there, and I had to figure out how, between song service and preaching, I'm going to change that diaper over there because of Rutley's. My worship, Lord, get us out of here as fast as you can. All my praise. Been a long week at work, but I'm going to give my all. Slowly, people started walking in. Oh, in that little building, people started coming in, and they didn't look like me, didn't look like her. They were brand new folks. And after a little bit of time, I'll never forget when they begin to say, I want that baptism you talked to me about. And I had a little bit of time in that little bitty room where they begin to experience God. And God moved in such a way that this man who had never been around church, his name was Mark, God began to move on him, and he began to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. A few weeks later, his wife, Catherine, in the altar area began to lift her hands, and she didn't know what to do. And I said, Catherine, let go of whatever you're holding on to. And when she let go, she threw her head back, and the Lord began to move. And she began to speak in a heavenly language. I'll never forget it. And slowly, harmony began to come in. Slowly, you had to realize it's not just about me. It's not just about me. It's not just about me. But there's oftentimes beautiful things. I don't want to pick on them any more than I already do, but Sarah and Carlos, I appreciate you. We come from different places. We do different things. We have different things we do. We have all, but my goodness, I cannot think about our church without you. I cannot think about it. I cannot fathom my thoughts without you. And Brendan David Collins, I'm going to pick on the folks that I'm looking at right now, but I see Zane walk in and I see the love that she and he have for this wonderful, wonderful child. But all my life, these people have been a part of my life. And all my life, they've encouraged me and loved me. And I cannot think about the harmony being anything but so great. We're not losing the carpenters. We're sending the carpenters. I'm going to miss the support. I'm going to miss the love. I appreciate both of them. When we're preaching and we're doing things, they've been nothing but the best of the best. But guess what? While they're preaching in Albania, we're going to preach here. While they're baptizing in Albania, we're going to baptize here. And I'm not saying, oh, we're losing a family. No, we're not. It's not about me. It's not about us. But there's a harmony and there's a peace of God that I get when I say, Lord, it's all about you anyways. And I give my all. I give my all. Would you stand to your feet right now? Come on, would you just take a moment? I know it's late. It's not too bad, though. Our kids are going to get home. Would you lift your hands to them all over this place and say, God, I seek your peace. I seek your peace, God. I seek your peace, God. I seek your strength, God. I seek your power, God. I seek the anointing that you have, God. I give my all, God. Jesus, in your name.